This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batts with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. A surprising headline from London. Huawei founder sparks alarm in China with warning of painful, quotes, next decade. This is Ren, the man who is the face of Huawei, the troubling telecommunications company around the world that is suspect, well, more than suspect, that is alleged suspect of being a tool of state security. We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang. Ann is here to help us not only with Ren talking pain, but also what the Chinese markets, especially the real estate market, are doing with anxiety around the world of inflation, of slowdowns, and of the mystery of the Chinese governance. Ann is the co-founder of J Capital Research, as well as the author of China Alone, The Emergence from and Pending Return to Isolation. And this is a step towards isolation. Ren says that Huawei is in trouble. Now, just yesterday, Huawei was growing its footprint around the world. What's happened? Good evening to you, Ann.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, Huawei is sort of the poster child for the Chinese bubble. And as you know, what goes up must come down. So what Huawei did was fuel its rise by giving people a whole lot of supposed shares in the company or selling them to people. And then when they left, there were enough people coming in that they could sell the shares back to the company at a profit. So this kind of sent the company up and gave it a lot of capital. Now that process is reversing and Huawei is tumbling toward the ground.
And the Huawei tumble, is it significant to you at this time? We've talked about real estate. We've talked about the banks. Does it comport with that? Is it in tune with that? Or is this a separate failure?
It is. I mean, this is the way the Chinese economy, which acted like a rocket ship, but didn't quite reach escape velocity. So there's this kind of like pause and equipoise at the top. And now it's tumbling down and bringing the electronic sector and everything else with it. And I think Huawei is a signal of that.
Gordon, when Ren says the chill will be felt by everyone, does he mean more than China? Does he mean around the world?
Well, he did talk about the global recession, but I think he was really referring to what was occurring in China itself. And indeed, people in China have taken his words and we're actually quite taken aback. Some people were shocked by the severity. It's not so much what he said. I think people knew that to a certain extent that there were problems inside China. But what they were taken aback by was the way that he said them, given his prominence in the political system in China.
And Gordon, do I say correctly that Huawei and state security work together and have from the very beginning? I don't want to make an allegation that is not commonplace.
We know that Huawei has been engaged in projects for the Chinese state security. So, for instance, it's Huawei servers in the headquarters of the African Union, which was donated by Beijing from 2012 to 2017. Those servers were sending nightly and surreptitiously information from the headquarters of the OAU back to Beijing. So this clearly was not done on by Huawei on its own.
You have a question for Ann.
And the puzzling aspect of Ren Zhengfei's comments are that because Huawei is so closely connected with the Ministry of State Security and other units, maybe the People's Liberation Army, why are they not supporting Huawei financially? Is it because they don't have money? Is it because our assumptions about Huawei's connection to the state were faulty? What's going on here? It just seems to me a mystery.
Well, I think they are supporting Huawei financially. They always have. But Huawei has a very large real estate arm, and that's got to, the numbers have never been disclosed. That has to be a painful portion of its business. But I think even more so, Ren Zhengfei is very, politically wired in. And I think his comments are in part a criticism of the United States policies of keeping high-end chips away from China. And without those high-end chips, which, you know, Huawei keeps on claiming that they've replicated them, but they really haven't. And without buying them from abroad, they're really stuck.
Yes, the markets have news of the U.S. moving to prevent or suggest to NVIDIA, a private company, no longer to send its high-end good stuff to China. And you mentioned real estate. So we often check in on the failure of Evergrande and its brothers and sisters. Is there any significant change that's happened since last we talked? I remember the Chinese banks were pushing billions and billions out, but nobody much wanted it.
They are. I mean, the big problem is that you have this lacuna of debt that's like a hot potato that's being tossed back and forth between central and local governments, and nobody wants knows what to do. So, for example, you had these mortgage boycotts all over the country with people refusing to pay on apartments that they haven't been able to take possession of. Well, you know, that's very understandable. You can't, you haven't gotten the apartment. Why should you pay for it? But it's also understandable that the bank thinks, well, you know, I gave you a mortgage. It had nothing to do with the developer. So the developer has made off with this money. And, you know, you can say as the central government, I'm going to give the local government a loan in order to complete the construction. But why should the local government take a loan in order to pay for money that was already absconded with? So it's really a tough problem.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And we focus on Evergrande, which was once China's largest property developer. Now the country's largest property developer is Country Garden. And Country Garden a couple days ago came out with results showing a 96% decrease in profits. How are the other property developers, including Country Garden, doing these days?
Well, they're running around trying to get bought. So if you're a smaller or independent or private property developer, you run over to one of the state-owned guys like Kali and you say, "Oh, wouldn't you like to buy my property and my assets and at a low price?" And Kali says, "No, I don't think so." But I think what we're going to see is a total roll-up of the property sector so that we go back to complete state ownership.
And I've not asked because it's been a mystery for years, but maybe here, is this the end of ghost cities? Is that included in this property bubble bursting?
Well, I think it's the end of new ghost cities, but there are certainly plenty of you know, empty hulks of high rises that are sitting around the country that will never be completed and never be occupied.
And those ghost cities are part of the problem? They're part of the assets that are in failure? They're trying to sell them? Or are they write them off what we used to call a bad bank? You know, let's not talk about that ghost city.
Yeah, the problem is that this big lump of debt has just gotten too big. So it used to be that you would swallow or sort of wash over the sins of the past by adding new capital and kind of, you know, tucking it away on your balance sheet. But as things slow down, you know, as Warren Buffett said, all the swimmers turn out to be swimming naked. And that's what's happened with the ghost cities. So they're not earning any money. They're lost capital and nobody really knows what to do with them.
I imagine fancifully that someday in the distant, distant future, our alien brethren from Andromeda will land on Earth and they'll find these ghost cities untouched and they'll speculate, who lived here? What kind of people were these to build such beautiful cities and preserve them all these eons? Anne Stephenson Yang, she is the co-founder of J Capital Research, as well as the author of China Alone, The Emergence From and Pending to Return to Isolation, including Ghost Cities. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.